Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. I think this is the ninth message in the series that we're doing, A Christian's Journey as Seen in Romans. Sometimes it is difficult to communicate, well, it's impossible to communicate all that God's Word is revealing to us. This is not the beginning of a message. This is not a message to kindergartners. If this is the first message that you listen to on the God School, I strongly recommend that you go back to the start of this series. Not to suggest that any of it is elementary. But we continue on. We got to the last verse of the 8th chapter, that is that 39th verse. I want to go back again. I want to go back to the first verse. Paul, having just concluded that in the 7th chapter, that, you know, he didn't know sin until the law came in. The law came, and sin was revealed as a result of the law being like a mirror to show us our condition. He had no disagreement with what he saw, that is, his short fallen condition. He struggled with it because he wanted to achieve that standard of God's righteousness expressed in the law. And he goes through a frustrating series of verses in the 7th chapter, and he draws the conclusion, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And he opens the 8th chapter and he says, King James reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." We encounter this word condemnation in many places. For instance, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I think the word is used, or the English translation is condemnation and or condemned. The Greek tells us there's two different words. This word being translated condemnation in the first verse of the 8th chapter, the Greek word is katakrima. The root, krima, means judgment or condemnation. When you add the prefix kata, what it tells us is ultimate condemnation. God says in the Old Testament to his children that if they sin, there will not be ultimate condemnation, but he will correct them with the rod of men. God has the right to direct our paths, but this statement of Paul to the church, that is, to the people who belong to the Lord, is that there is no ultimate condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on in this eighth chapter to tell us how we are found in Christ Jesus. We're found in him when he is in us. And Christ is formed in your heart by faith. Faith is acting on the promises of God. He goes on to tell us that we have not in this new relationship, this new covenant, this new testament, that which is written in the life and blood of Jesus Christ, that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic word. Could be translated Father. I've heard it to be even more endearing. Could be Daddy. And Paul declares in the 16th verse that the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This does not say that we have chills running up and down our body, emotional responses that let us know that we are the children of God. This says God's Spirit bears witness, united with our spirit, that we are the children of God. So, as I was teaching last week, we got to this 24th verse, translated, for we are saved by hope. I had some things to say about that, but I have more things to say about it today, having dug a little deeper, having listened a little closer to teaching from my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. He translates this 24th verse, for we were saved by hope. Past tense. And I went and I looked at one of the interlinearies, and the word is esothamen. Soto is the root. Now, if you went to your concordance, your Strong's Concordance, look, it's a great help. I spent years with that book, and I'm grateful for the insight I received from it. But oftentimes in the Strong's, it really only gives you the root. It never gives you the prefixes or suffixes of the word. The Greek word translated "are saved" is exothemen, and the literal translation, it's the root is tzotzo, we go further to soterion, talking of salvation, talking of tzotzo life, talking of soterion, of a process, of a done deal, and a process at the same time. This word, exothemen, is past tense. And it should properly read, we were saved by hope. Now, whose hope? I would tell you, it was by God's hope. It was by our Father's hope. Human analogies break down, but when a father has a son or daughter, and it is a healthy relationship, as that father holds the child and embraces the child, looks into the child's eyes, thinks of the future, that father has great hope. And this is what's being declared in this 24th verse, that we were saved by the hope of our Father. So, just by comparison, and I'm not trying to make Greek scholars, because I certainly am not one myself. I will say this, that a very smart man once told me that a scholar is not one who knows everything. He's just one who knows how to find everything. And I'm searching, folks, and I have no doubt I'm being led in the right direction. I have no doubt I'm leading this assembly at the God School in the right direction. But having said that, we can go to the first chapter of Corinthians, the first epistle, and it says in the 18th verse, but unto us, this King James translation, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, if you went to the Strong's, you'd encounter the word, the Greek word for which are saved, tzotzo. But that's a limitation of a concordance. The interlinear, the Greek expression, which was the original language in which the New Testament was written, It uses the word not just sozo, but sozomenos. And you translate that being saved. We're in this relationship. We are waiting, we are eagerly awaiting the manifestation, as is all creation, of the sons of God, or in many of your cases, daughters of God. But, and it is by the hope of our Father that we were saved. This is kind of a in-depth overview of this eighth chapter of Romans, which is, I don't know that any greater words were ever written. To fill us with such hope. Even the hope of God. The 28th verse says, King James, and we know that all things work together for good. I told you last week, that's not a very good translation. Literally, the phrase begins, to the ones loving God. Probably, and you know, I'm not a one verse person, but some verses that I go back to, and I'm not trying to justify myself. I'm justified by God. Nonetheless, I would share this with you. And my recommendation is, as the week goes on, after you hear this message, you might go back and spend some time in our Father's Word and expose yourself again if you haven't done already. And if you have, do it again. Do it again and again. That is the 73rd Psalm. And I'm not going to go through it all today, but I would share these verses with you. 23rd verse says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have holden me by my right hand. This is David speaking to God. You shall guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And he can't contain himself. And he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is a heartfelt expression of one who is loving God. This is a way that we can express. This is a relationship that we can have with our Father. And the last verse says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I'm going to change this for today, just for today, to try to emphasize the relationship that Paul emphasizes in Romans, that God, through Paul, emphasizes to us in this 8th chapter of Romans. But it is good for me to draw near to you, Father. I have put my trust in you, Father, that I may declare all your works. We could just as easily say that I might declare all my Father's works. To the ones loving God, God works all things together. That is, that Greek word is a word from which we get our word synergize. To make it come out to his good. To them who are called according to his purpose. We did not seek out and find God. It's declared in the scriptures that no man comes to God save the Spirit of God draw him. And Jesus further elaborates when he says that no man comes to God save through him. And that's this relationship called Christianity, wherein God, it's called a lot of things, but let's get down to the heart of the matter. A Christian is one whom God has called, who has responded to that call in faith, and the result of that faith is God has put a part of himself in us, that is, has put Jesus, a part of Jesus in us, and he has put us in Christ. God's purpose. The first chapter of Ephesians, we read, beginning in the 3rd verse, blessed be the God. No, no, no. I've told you this before. Eulogetos. The word means good speaking, well speaking. It's a name of God. God speaks well to his children. The good speaking God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him, who our Father has chosen. He, out of all that He could choose, He chose some out. He did this for Himself. He chose some out from those He did not choose. And placed us in Christ. This is incredible. Before the foundations of the world. That we should be holy, it says, hagios, committed is the word. It's not this, you know, walking around with your hands together, praying 24 hours a day, doing whatever. Committed. And then, without blame, that's God's purpose. That's His hope. And without blame before who? Our next door neighbor? Our boss? Our co-workers? Our families? Who? Before Him, our Father. In love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That is, to our Father, according to the good pleasure of our Father's will. I don't want to stop here. To the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted. God has made us accepted in the Beloved. You want to go out and earn it yourself? You go right ahead, but I assure you that God will not be pleased, because that's not the purpose. Purpose is that He expressed here in His word. It says, He, God, our Father, who has hope for us, has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. That is, the full price has been paid through His blood, that is, the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What this verse says is the choice by our Father was made in wisdom and prudence. God thought this out. It doesn't say He gave us wisdom and prudence. You know, it says in that first chapter also of 1 Corinthians that in the 30th verse, but of Him, that is, of our Father, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Wisdom in Christ Jesus. But what it's saying is God thought this out. And having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His, whose, our Father's good pleasure, which He, who, our Father, has purposed in Himself. This book is the most wonderful revelation any of us could ever have. Forget about me. The God School is doing what it can to communicate God's word to God's people, not that they may receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, may come through His word to understand His relationship with us, His hope for us. And His love for us. The last word of this eighth chapter, the last verse of this eighth chapter says, well, let's read it all because it sounds so sweet. Let's go to the 38th verse. For I am persuaded, Paul speaking, the word is pitheo. It's a derivative or a result of faith. It is an outward observation or outcome of faith. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God. Context of this teaching, the love of our Father. The word in the Greek is agapao, and it means to take pleasure in a thing, to prize it above other things, to be unwilling to abandon it, or do without. That's our Father's love for us. He's not willing to do without us. It's hope for us. From the very beginning is that He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He, that is Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why the resurrection is so important. That's why the resurrection is the foundation of our Christian faith, of our Christian hope, of our Christian love. But even more than that, this is the hope of God. And it is by His love, by His willingness not to do without us. He's not willing to abandon. He's not willing to abandon His hope. And He as all of this book, and I'm speaking of the Bible, declares, He is faithful. He will do what He says He will do. That's the foundation of our hope. That's the foundation of our acting on His promises, which give us hope, because we know God does what He says He will do. And we, as His children, eagerly await that day when the sons and daughters of God and our adoption in and through Christ Jesus will be made manifest. This is Labor Day weekend. This is a day when labor takes a rest. As Christians, we hasten to enter in to that rest with the understanding that God, through Jesus Christ, has already finished the work. I have a friend that likes to speak of what God has in store for us. He likes to use a phrase, already, not yet. Already, not yet. We understand already, and in the not yet stage, we do eagerly await the full manifestation of our Father's faith, hope, and love. And that's the God School for today.